Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Everybody's bright and cheery and ready to go this morning.
All right, well, let's go ahead and get started. Dude, this is the day that the Lord has made. Number 100, I believe it is.
101.
101.
No, I think we're doing the first one, the dance version.
Oh, okay.
Yo, is it 101? Well, then forgive me. You're right.
Okay.
Disoriented. It's all right.
I understand.
This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it.
Celebrate the break. this year.
Praise your name, Lord.
Praise you, Jesus. Yep.
Well, praise the Lord. I didn't expect to be that quick. You ready there, sir?
I'm ready. I expected another song, though, but praise the Lord. All right, we've been studying, working up about hardness as a good soldier. Amen? But there's a lot of groundwork to get to if you're going to be hard as a soldier. Now, last night, we got into John 17, and I want to go back there. Go back to John 17. And I guess we left off with verse 2 speaks, so we're going to do verse 2. There's a lot of stuff in this. There's a lot of stuff. And I hope I can cover it, cover what needs to be, quickly and precisely. Verse 2, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Now you go out here in the world, and you ask the average Christian, or the average pastor, or Dickens, or deacon I mean, or so-called teacher, how many people did God give Jesus the authority to save? Everybody look at me. Don't say anything. Just look up here a minute. I said look up here a minute. That means you too, Kaylee. Think of that a minute. You go out here in the world, and you go out here in the churches, God gave Jesus authority to save everybody. Anybody that believes on him, he gave them authority to save. Isn't that right? Isn't that what the world believes? Isn't that what the church teaches? Now, some of you know better. But Jesus only had the authority to save 11 people. That's it. He had power over all flesh. But he was only given the authority to save 11 out of the whole world. That really throws the skunk in the back of the car. Because if Jesus only had the authority to save 11 people, it stinks to be us. The way it's taught in the churches. But see, God had a plan. He gave Jesus the authority to save 11. And then he turned around and gave the 11 the authority to save the rest. Amen. Let's read it. Say, preacher, you don't know what you're talking about. Oh, yeah, I do. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And thou, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self for the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Now look at this. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Thine they were. They were already yours. These were predestinated. Out of the world, at that time, there were 11 predestinated. To be saved by Jesus Christ. Amen. Paul came later. And others. At this particular moment, at this particular time and space, only 11. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. Look at verse 9. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. Well, that trips a lot of people up. You mean Jesus didn't pray for me? He didn't pray for the world? No. He prayed for those 11. It's amazing what pride makes people see. Pride will make people read this. Oh, that's me. That's all about me. They'll go over to Ephesians chapter 1. Oh, that's all about me. Go down to Peter. It's all about me. All right, let's see how we can make this change. All right. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. Remember, this is 11. Doesn't count Judas. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name, and those that thou gavest me I have kept. And none of them is lost but the son of perdition. Seed of perdition. Predestinated unto damnation. Already judged. That the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Now, I can go a couple hours on that one verse right there. I could probably put in 2 good hours without trying on that one verse. Just because of the even as. Just because of the even as. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. That means the same. Jesus was before. These were before. Same way. Am I on 15 now? I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. Look at verse 16. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. That's your second witness. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. The word sanctifies. See, it's a beautiful thing. You don't get sanctified by what you do. And you can't sanctify yourself. It's the word that sanctifies you. Therefore, how can you be sanctified if you don't get in the word? You gotta be in the word. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. Verse 18. In the same way, God sent Jesus, now Jesus is sending them. You see what's starting to happen here? He's building his army. He set up his army, he set up his line of command. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sake, I sanctify myself that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Now, verse 20. Neither pray I for these alone. Whew, I'm starting to sweat that one. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. See, he has set up his chain of command. And you cannot go around it. You can't go around it. He has set up his chain of command. Now, I want you to look at something when these teachers out here teach you or try to tell you that the age of the apostles is gone. The age of the prophets is gone. Some of them are even saying the age of the evangelists is gone. There was a group called the Fort Lauderdale Five back in the 70s who tried to teach that the age of the pastors was gone and now it's the age of the teachers. They took Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, and dispensationalized it. First there were the apostles. Hallelujah. Then there were the prophets. Then the evangelists. Then the age of the pastors. Now the age of the teachers. And we're the teachers, so y'all got to listen to us. Ah. It's bullcrap. Jesus set up a line of command, he set up his army, and it doesn't change until the fight's over. And the fight ain't over. Can you see us going into Iraq? And after the first week, okay, we don't need generals anymore, get rid of them. Second week, well, we don't need the colonels anymore, we get rid of them. Third week, well, we can get rid of the majors and let's let the captains and lieutenants duke it out. That is ridiculous. Isn't that just plain asinine? And yet somehow or another, we're supposed to believe that that's the way God operates? We're supposed to believe that God set up a kingdom of chaos? No. God's kingdom is not a kingdom of chaos, but a kingdom of order. It's a kingdom of power. It's a kingdom of truth. It's a kingdom of love. And it's a kingdom of God's authority reigning supreme. And he set up his chain of command right here in chapter 17 of John. God gave Jesus the authority to save 11 people. Jesus turned around and gave those 11 the authority to save who would ever believe their word. Now watch this. It don't take a rocket science just to figure this out. In fact, a rocket science just probably couldn't figure it out. It has to take a dummy like me to see it. If Jesus gave it to those 11, and that was it, then when they died, no one else could get it. Oh, but wait a minute, we got their word. If we believe their word here, well, if that's the case, throw the rest of the book away. Get rid of all of it. Boy, that's a light reading now. I don't have to read so much. Hallelujah. Glory, glory. Just a few pages. I'm saved. Glory, I'm sanctified. I read 10 pages. Woo-hoo. Oh, it don't work that way, children. It don't work that way. He gave his line of authority. And that line of authority moves on, right down today in our time, and will continue to move on until Jesus Christ returns, collects the rest of his army, and then hangs back for 7 years until he's ready to come and finish the job on the Antichrist and on Satan. Y'all understand what I'm saying? Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one. As thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. How can the world believe that God sent Jesus if he hasn't got a people that are in him and he in them, so the world can see that God sent him? You're called to be the people. You're called to be that people. How do I know? Because you're here, you're listening to the word. And the sad thing is, these people in these churches out here are called also to be that people. But they don't know it. They don't know how. How can they know how if there's no someone to show them? Why don't you show them? Why don't you endure hardness as a good soldier of Christ? Why don't you lay down the world? Lay down everything to serve him. Why don't you do that? Why don't you humble yourselves so that you may serve him? Why don't you get rid of your pride? Why don't you get rid of your know-it-allness? It's amazing to me over the years how many ways know-it-allness shows up. You teach somebody the truth. Well, do you understand? Well, I got to go pray about it. You think praying about it is going to make you understand? if you can't understand one and one and one is three, then you're not going to. All the prayer in the world ain't going to make you understand it. Or one times one is one. I mean, that's how simple this stuff is. Well, I got to go meditate on it. Or I'm processing. That was Brad's biggest thing. I got to process it. And many a times I wanted to say to Brad, the Lord wouldn't let me, you ain't smart enough to process it, buddy. You can process it until you're blue in the face. God doesn't ask us to process or to meditate on it. He asks us to believe Him. If it's written in the Word, we believe it. Well, I have to understand it. Really? How many of these kids out here know how to turn on a light switch? How many can sit down and explain to me electricity? See? You don't have to know how electricity works to use it, do you? But you got to believe if you flip that switch, the lights come on. That's all you need to know. The Bible says, if you believe on me, the works that I do, you will do also. That's all you got to believe. That's all you got to know. That's all you got to know. If I believe on Jesus Christ, then the works that He did, I'll do also. I don't have to understand it. I don't have to figure it out. All I got to do is believe it. Pride gets in our way. And arrogance and rebellion. Because that's what we are by nature. That's what we are by nature. It's all about us. And somehow or another, God just doesn't fit in the way He should. And I'm trying to get Him in that box. And doesn't seem to want to fit right. I got news for you, Catholics. You can't put Jesus in a box. I love what Neil Coleman used to do. He'd go by the chapel, the Catholic chapel. You know, they got a little box with a Jesus cookie in it. And he'd walk by there and say, "Hey, Jesus, it's all right, buddy. Behave yourself. We'll let you out on Sunday. Watch out for that priest, though. He's going to try to eat you." They thought they could put Jesus in a box. And then you got the nuns that marry the cookie. Hello. Got a nice wedding gown on. Got them an engagement ring. What are you marrying? That. Skinny, ain't he? That's just a pole with a cookie on top. No, that's Jesus. Boy, he sure has changed over the years. He don't look like none of his pictures. People can be so stupid. My first wife. Married a cookie. She had to go to the Pope to get divorced. And then she screwed it by marrying me. Oh, we are something else. Sorry, Rick, I'm talking about your mother. Hope she hears it. Hey, Bert, how's you and the cookie doing lately? No, I'm sorry. Shouldn't be that way. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. See, the glory that God gave Jesus, he gave to the disciples, the apostles. Why did he give it to the apostles? So they could glorify him. Amen. The same reason God gave glory to Jesus, so Jesus could glorify the Father. Jesus gives the glory to the apostles so that they can glorify the Son. And what do the apostles do with it? Oh, I know. They sit around and have a wine party and say, always thought I'd be an apostle. How does that song go? Yeah, knew that I could make it if I tried. Remember that? Jesus Christ Superstar? That was, some of that stuff was weird. I like the Mary Magdalene song. I cried on that one. The thing is, God has a purpose. He gave the glory to the Son. The Son gives the glory to the apostles. And the apostles pass it on to the prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, to the body of the faithful. And all to one purpose, that God may be glorified. Amen.
Is there a particular song someone would like to sing?
Yes. Okay, we'll do that one.
I'm not afraid.
cheered. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Well, praise the Lord, folks. You are dismissed.